You are listening to Roll the Quadcast, a Blogger So Deer podcast where little old Charlie Brown is still trying to kick that football. Blogger So Deer is the go-to website for the best independent analysis of Wake Forest athletics.
Welcome to episode 24 of Roll the Quadcast. I'm Rob Reinhardt, joined as always by my wonderful co-host Riley Johnston, recording this here on Sunday, March 16th, 2014, back from a two-week hiatus. Riley, how we doing?
Doing well. Spent the week and weekend in Greensboro watching some ACC tournament basketball. Always good. Shout out to the Virginia Cavaliers who broke their, I'm not good at math, but I think it's 38-year drought in the ACC tournament. Their second one of all time. So it was good. A lot of fans, and it's always good when Duke or Carolina doesn't win the ACC tournament.
Absolutely. And I was traveling today. Unfortunately, didn't see the game, but everything I heard sounded like there was a fantastic atmosphere there, which is great. Good central location for both teams. Charlottesville not too far away. Durham not, well, New Jersey's kind of far away, but Durham's not too far away.
yes.
But anyway, always great to see a great atmosphere. And in my opinion, and you can't convince me otherwise, the Greensboro Coliseum is by far the best place for the ACC tournament, I understand. Want to move it to Brooklyn every so often, D.C., Atlanta, places like that. But the best place for the tournament is in the Greensboro Coliseum. I hope it's there at least 50% of the time, for
sure. Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good place there. And even with expansion, it's still a central location in terms of Syracuse, Miami, Boston College, Florida State. It's the middle. And I know Greensboro, there's not a lot to do there outside of watch basketball, but
that's why you're there. Yep. You're on there for a basketball tournament, and two of the days you're there from noon until the games. Some of those games ended after midnight.
Right.
So, and if you're not, and you should be playing cornhole in the morning. So that's your entire day right there.
Yep.
If you're doing anything else, you're doing it wrong.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so it's been 2 weeks since we've talked. We'll briefly talk about, we've beaten Duke since then. I know that seems like forever ago, but we actually beat Duke since then. Riley, any thoughts on that game or what that game told you? Did it symbolize anything?
No, I mean, I thought it was a great win for Wake. So, like I said, it's always good to beat Duke or Carolina. We did both this year, actually beat Duke, Carolina, and State all at home, so that was nice. Good for the team. They played well. It got Travis McCoy one last big win in his collegiate career. I thought we battled hard down the stretch, and it's a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember a ton about it. I don't have the best memory, but it was a good win. I believe we went on a 17-2 run or something of that nature
we closed
to take it over. And the main thing I took from there was we got down to the point where we had been in several other games under four. Nearing that, sometime around halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just closed the deal this time instead of letting the other team make a run. So I thought that was the only big difference. Tyler Cavanaugh was fantastic in those final 4 minutes and played like he should all the time. It was a good win, and it was very exciting. So that was a nice win, and that's about all I have to say about that. Always nice to beat top 10 teams.
Yeah, I thought it was a great win. Always great to beat Duke, as you said, and we seized the moment and went on an awesome run to win that game. And the Joel was the fans who were there, and there were 12,000 some, a fair number of Duke fans there, unfortunately. But it was a really fun few moments to watch for Wake Forest basketball. Really exciting, and really happy for the players to get that win, and especially Travis McKay on his senior night. Great for him to get that win. And another thing that was great for him to win, we had talked about, well, Bart had mostly talked about in his piece on Travis McKay, his long form on Travis McKay, that Travis would have been the only player in Wake Forest history who had played all four seasons to have not won an ACC tournament, a postseason game, either ACC tournament or NCAA tournament. But lo and behold, the Deacs came out and beat Notre Dame in the Wednesday edition of the ACC tournament.
They did, and the game was really never in question. We played well from the beginning. I'm not sure we trailed much beyond the first 2 points of the game. I thought we looked really good. Notre Dame obviously not having a standard year under Mike Bray, but it's still Notre Dame. We beat them twice this year. It was a much closer affair at home, but this time we took care of business. It was really, really good to see Karam Wynn, Lane Travis McKay go out on top. Well, they didn't go out on top because they got blown out the next day.
But they won a very good game.
It was the first tournament win for Wake Forest since Skip Prosser last
week. ACC tournament win
since Skip Prosser's final game. Or final win, I should say, in 2007. So it's been 7 long years, and that's a long time to go between winning tournament games.
Especially being favored in several of those games.
So it was nice. I think we were in this particular game, we were slight underdogs, so it's good to get one back for once. That's always nice. Then we followed it up with a complete egg to finish our season. So, yeah, you want to talk a little about the Pittsburgh game? I don't know what there really is to say that hasn't already been said.
Well, this was as good as we looked against Duke and as good as we looked against, I thought we looked pretty good against Notre Dame. This is sort of our season. Yeah. We can play very well in games, but then we come into games and you know what? We just got flat out beat up.
Yep.
We got absolutely crushed. Zana was... he only had 9 rebounds in this game. That was a Carolina game he had. But they just...
21 in Carolina game.
You look at their defensive efficiency was .85, which is outstanding. Their offensive efficiency by there, I mean Pittsburgh, was 1.29. They just completely dominated us for the entire game. They were up 12, 10 minutes in. They outscored us by 2 over that stretch, then came out over the first 10 minutes of the third quarter, won that series by 7, and then closed out the final 10 minutes with an 8-point win. This is a team who had been playing a fair number of close games, had struggled against Virginia Tech and Miami. And you and I are firm believers in Pittsburgh. We'll talk about them here in the NCAA tournament coming up later. We're going to be doing a lot of talk about the NCAA tournament and making our picks, our Final Four picks. So stay tuned for that. But just a complete embarrassment. Look, your shots aren't going to fall every night. I get that. But nearly everything else should be there. Your defensive intensity, your commitment to attempt to rebound. I know you can go against better rebounding teams on a nightly basis, and that's okay. But your commitment to wanting the ball, patience on offense, having smart decision-making and making good passes. But we had absolutely none of that.
Yeah, we don't do any of that.
we don't do any of that. I strongly encourage those of you who watch the NCAA tournament, which is the vast majority of you, if you have yet to see Pittsburgh play this year, which the majority of our listeners are ACC fans, I'm sure they've seen it, but really pay close attention to how they move on offense. And it is... everything they do is with a purpose, and it is gorgeous to watch. And I know it may sound like I'm sort of defending Wake because they got beat by a good team. No, I'm not. I'm praising Pittsburgh, but our effort and just completely lackluster, and that's all I'm going to say about that game. Complete embarrassment. Anything else you wanted to say before we jump into the NCAA tournament?
No, one thing was, you know, just watching. I watched the night games on Thursday and Friday and all the games yesterday and the finals today, including the Wake game on Wednesday. So I saw about eight games and saw several different teams. And, I mean, after having – we have season tickets to Wake games, obviously.
Yeah.
But after watching other teams, you realize how far Wake Forest is from even being a middle conference team. I mean, Pittsburgh, they're better than middle. They fit fifth in the conference, but I mean, they're a really good team. Took UVA down to the wire. I mean,
a lot of really close losses throughout the season.
And I mean, we don't look like we're even close to being like a team, even a Clemson or a Pittsburgh or even an NC State.
That
sounds weird.
State.
It sounds weird, but
it's true
because we beat those teams. But I'm not talking one game sample time. I'm talking about overall.
I'm talking who's legitimately just better.
Right. Ball movement, coaching, all that stuff.
And speaking of coaching,
set plays, all that stuff.
Mark Gottfried, I give him a ton of credit. You know, we've criticized him. I'm not sure if we've done it on this podcast. We've done it certainly off air.
I'm pretty sure we have.
We probably have. Certainly not the best defensive coach in the world, but give him all the credit in the world. This is a team who loses Lorenzo Brown, who loses C.J. Leslie, who loses Richard Howe, who loses Scott Wood, and we can argue whether or not they deserve to be in the NCAA tournament or not. The fact that they were even in the discussion on the bubble and they got in, credit to Mark Godfrey. I don't think he deserves to necessarily be ACC Coach of the Year because there are a lot of outstanding candidates.
Yeah, I mean, Tony Bennett
deserves it and absolutely deserving of it. But Mark Godfrey deserves a ton of credit. And along those lines, I thought Jim Larrañaga, that's a team that had no business finishing 10th. And to his credit, they did. But you're absolutely right. I did not go to the ACC tournament this year, but I've been to the past four, going with your family every single time. And when you watch all of those games and you see teams come out and out, number one, you realize how special that tournament is and the passion for basketball that these ACC fan bases have. But you see how many great players are in this league when you watch them up close in person and how hard these teams play and just their level of commitment to excellence. And then we watch Wake play, 17 times about in person every year and over every game, at least on television.
Right.
And just, it's really not that close, unfortunately.
Right, and that's the big problem, I think. It's not, in my opinion, it's not like we're one player away from being a team that could challenge an NCAA tournament. I think we're one player away from being a team that could be on the bubble and make the NCAA tournament. And that's problematic. We don't need to talk a lot more about it. We assume that Jeff Pozelik will be relieved of his duties sometime shortly.
And we will be having a podcast for that.
And they will literally be a Roll the Quadcast.
It will a little bit. We might have to figure out how to do it. We may be reporting live from the quad that time.
Yeah,
out of that quad.
Roll it with ugly ties.
Bring all the toilet paper you want. We'll be there all night. It's going to be a beautiful time. And then we'll get on and we'll scream about it. And then we'll start to speculate and we'll see what goes on. But I think those are some excellent thoughts you bring up, Riley, about sort of this drop-off of Wake. There being this gap between Wake and the majority of the ACC, obviously,
yeah.
Boston College and
Virginia
Tech's its own dumpster fire. But, even Boston College, I tell you what, you watch them play, and conflicting reports on Donahue's future, but at least when they played us, I mean, they're pretty good on he can tell he gets the most out of his kids on offense, at least, which is really all. At the college level, you ask for recruiting, obviously. That's a head coach's, not necessarily primary responsibility, but it's more important than X's and O's as far as I'm concerned. But you can tell he gets the most out of his kids, and they give fairly consistent effort. But I just don't feel that same way when I watch Wake play.
Right.
So
I agree.
Moving on to a tournament we were accustomed to being in, but we have not been in over the past 4 years, and that is the NCAA tournament. Somewhat relevant to Wake Forest fans, as some of you may know, Wake Forest Athletic Director Ron Wellman is the tournament chair this year, leading that committee. Riley, any thoughts on teams who were potentially seeded a little bit too high, too low, and any teams pop out you that were really misseeded?
I thought New Mexico, they got a 7 seed. They defeated San Diego State. A 4 seed last night in the tournament. San Diego State in the Mountain West.
That sounds right.
They played them in some conference final. They beat them handily, I believe, and they somehow wound up a 7 seed while San Diego State gets the 4 seed. That popped out first, kind of going in chronological order of when it was announced. Louisville, obviously, this goes without saying, should not have been a 4 seed. And Ron Wallman's half-ass explanation as to why Virginia got the 1 seed and Louisville got the 4 seed was nothing short of pathetic. And
Basically, he
kind of let in with body of work, the whole body of work. Louisville didn't really have the body of work. And then he said, Virginia, they won the ACC regular season and the conference title, and Andy Katz cut in what Louisville did too. And he said, yeah, right. And Louisville, of course, lost to Cincinnati in the one seed on a coin flip, which doesn't matter. They tied for the tournament.
They tied for the regular season.
And, you know, he said earlier, he said that Louisville didn't really pass the eye test like everybody else did. And later he said, oh, they passed all the eye tests.
They're playing. You would take them over some of the number one teams probably.
And they beat Rutgers 92-31 to like 5 days.
I saw a great tweet. I forget who said it, but if Louisville's a 4 seed, Rutgers a 13,762 seed.
And that was pretty ridiculous in my opinion. I thought the 1 seeds, Virginia, are going in order, I guess. Florida, Wichita State, Arizona, and Virginia. Those were the correct 4 seeds.
I really think this is a year that you had 4 pretty clear-cut number 1 seeds. A team who, Arizona was number 1 for a decent portion of the year. Wichita State, obviously, undefeated. Virginia wins the ACC regular season and ACC tournament. And then Florida, who's won 26 in a row, I believe, now, undefeated in conference play, regular season, and SEC tournament. So,
yeah,
pretty clear cut there.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, going off from there, I guess the next thing to look at is Wichita State really got screwed with the teams in their region. They're the 1 seed. They're the second best team overall, yet they got the second best 2 seed in Michigan, according to the just ranking the S-curve of 68 teams. Then they got the best 3 seed and the best 4 seed in Duke and Louisville. So the road to the Final Four, or I guess I'll run it out through the championship game, and if they played all chalk, would be insert 16 seed Cal Poly or Texas Southern. Kentucky, Louisville,
preseason number 1 team in the country,
and then
40-0.
Louisville, defending national champion. Michigan, defending national runner up. Then Arizona, and then Florida or Virginia. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, that's not how you reward a team for going 34-0. It doesn't make sense to me how that happened. Kentucky seems to be a little low in an 8 seed. I thought they'd be maybe a 6 or a 7. I don't have a lot of qualms. They have to play somebody.
I mean, looking at the other 8 seeds, Colorado, that's an embarrassment. They're not very good. Gonzaga, I would take Kentucky over Gonzaga. And
Memphis.
Memphis, inconsistent team. I would say Kentucky's clearly the best 8 seed, by far the most talented.
Just beyond that, you've got, I mean, Louisville, Kentucky, NC State / Xavier against St. Louis. I think whoever went that State Xavier game could easily beat St. Louis. I think
those are three good teams.
Yeah, I think
And
St. Louis was, I think they're a little overseeded.
At 5, yes.
And I mean that whole pod right there. I mean Manhattan, I don't think they'll beat Louisville, but they're coached by Steve Massiello, and that's a phenomenal young coach. He worked with Rick Pitino at Louisville for a number of years.
Big recruiter under him.
So I mean that whole pod right there is good. UMass probably a little underseeded at the 6. Overseeded at the 6.
Iowa, Tennessee, whoever wins that game, I'm taking them over UMass.
An interesting note with Iowa, Tennessee, I guess we'll just go ahead and break down the Midwest brackets.
We'll just start there.
That would be, I believe, according to Ken Pomeroy, the second best opening round game, according to Thrill Score. Tennessee 13th in Ken Pom's ranking.
Yeah.
Iowa's 27th. So they're playing UMass, who I don't know off the top of my head what their Ken Pom ranking is, but I think they're probably in
52.
I would just say mid-40s, lower 50s.
Which, for ACC fans, that's one spot behind Clemson, who I believe Clemson actually beat earlier in the year.
And Clemson's the 3 seed in the NIT. So
Maryland is
they are
MIA from the
they're not at all. We can talk about that a little later. Their NIT seedings and lack of teams that made the seedings were just bizarre to me, and I don't know how they really choose that. That's another tangent. But this bracket down here in the Midwest, I mean, you got to like Duke's chances to get through there. They open as 10.5-point favorites to Mercer, and I think that they can win that game by 10.5. I'd take the money and run there. Then they're going to play a tough Iowa-Tennessee team,
Tennessee
or UMass, but
physical.
I agree with you. I think whatever team wins the Iowa Tennessee matchup, I think they'll beat UMass, and then that'll be a pretty good matchup with Duke. Duke's not exactly hard inside, and that can be a tough matchup. But I still like Duke to get through the Sweet 16.
But it's going
to
be a very good game.
Michigan has kind of a walk down there. Texas, Arizona State, and then Wofford. They'll beat Wofford, then
beat Texas somewhat easily.
There's some really intriguing Sweet 16 matchups if chalk holds. So that'd be Michigan and Duke. And then kind of moving up top here, I think Wichita State will be the 16 seed. I do think Kentucky will beat Kansas State.
Okay.
And then I think State and Xavier winner will beat St. Louis. And then I'm taking Louisville. So we have Wichita State, Kentucky, State slash Xavier, and Louisville in that upper bracket. And then I like Wichita State over Kentucky. I know a lot of people are going to take Kentucky in the kind of the sexy upset pick. But
and especially since Kentucky's been playing really well as of late, only lose by one to Florida in the SEC championship game, even though how quickly people forget they were not playing that well headed into the SEC tournament. So how quickly perception can change. And this is a team who is getting, you know, ripped on somewhat during the middle of the season for not quite living up to expectations. But as Calipari always does, he brings in young teams. And the thing about young teams is they will get better throughout the season. Will Cauley-Stein could be a big presence for Wichita State, and as well as Julius Randle. That could be major. But the Harrison twins, I'm not sold on them. James Young, he's good, but he every time I watch him always leaves a little bit to be desired. So I would take Wichita State in that one, but, you know, what an exciting, I'm not going to call it round three, round of 32 game.
Yeah, I mean, that bracket has, I mean, Wichita State, Kentucky, State slash Xavier slash St. Louis versus Louisville, Iowa, Tennessee slash UMass versus Duke, and Texas versus Michigan. I mean, those are great.
Just get your popcorn, just sit down, and it's going to be fantastic, that Midwest bracket.
Yeah, and then kind of on the opposite side, let's flip over to the other side. The East. We've got, let's see here.
Our Hoos.
Yeah, UVA. This is kind of a weak bracket, in my opinion. You've got Virginia's the 1 seed. Villanova's the 2 seed. Let's see. Iowa State 3. I do think it's a good 3 seed.
I think they're very good. And played very well in the Big 12 tournament.
And then Michigan State is the Big 4 seed. So
I love them.
From there, Virginia, well, they'll beat Coastal. I think they'll probably be a 20-point favorite. Coastal is the worst team in the tournament.
Cruise by
Villanova, I like over Milwaukee, obviously. Iowa State, Central.
Really good team.
Yeah, I mean, Lavelle Moton has done a fantastic job down at NC Central, and I'm not kidding when I say
beat NC State earlier this year.
I wouldn't mind taking a look at him. I'd like a little more experience than that, but I think he's got a high upside.
God, if we brought him on, I don't mean this to, you know, say anything bad about him. If we brought him in as an assistant, I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, I think that'd be good to hear. He needs more.
I don't know if he would, you know, if he would prefer to maybe go to a more of a mid-major level now and move on from NC Central. But he's a really bright up-and-coming. He was coaching middle school basketball not too long ago. If memory serves me correct. So, and just an example of somebody who's smart and works really hard, and you know, give a lot of credit to NC Central. Now, that being said, I'm still taking the mayor to come home with a victory, but I'm a big believer in Iowa State, and I like them. Spoiler alert: I like them to beat Villanova. I know you actually have UConn beating Villanova, but I'm jumping ahead of ourselves.
Well, this bracket's kind of interesting to me. I have all 1 through 8 moving on in
chalk
next round, yes. And then I have Virginia over Memphis, Michigan State over Cincinnati, which, as you said earlier, there will be blood at those two teams.
Oh, that's my goodness. That is going to be a football game.
And McCronin versus Izzo should be fantastic. Yes. Then I have UNC over Providence, Iowa State. I actually have Carolina beating Iowa State. I think they're, aside from that Pittsburgh letdown, I think they've been playing some reasonably good basketball as of late. And they had those 2 losses in a row after 12 in a row wins, but I still like them. And then I have Connecticut over Villanova. I think Villanova is kind of a soft 2 seed.
Oh, yeah.
And Shabazz Napier will be the best player on the court. And
best player on the court tends to come out. In basketball, when there are only 10 guys on the court, the best one can have a huge impact.
Yeah, so I like that. And so I've got Virginia, Michigan State, UNC, and UConn into the Final Four in that region. What do you have down over there?
Yeah, I like, you know, in terms of making the Sweet 16, I agree with your prediction of chalk of 1 through 8. I like Virginia to move on past Memphis. I like Michigan State to move on to the Sweet 16. I'm gonna take Iowa State to beat Carolina. I think I think they're an awesome team. I just love Hoiberg, but obviously wouldn't be surprised if Carolina won. I think that's gonna be a really good game. And then I'll take Villanova. to beat UConn, but I'm sort of with you in that I don't think Villanova is not a very strong number two seed, and I thought Virginia, in my opinion, are the weakest number four, and I thought they got sort of a gift. And no offense to Villanova, obviously Jay Wright has a fantastic program, but I think they somewhat got a gift that Villanova was their number two seed. I would much rather play Villanova than a Michigan, a physical, tough Wisconsin team, or a Kansas team with incredible amounts of talent, although Embiid's status, his back is certainly up in the air. So that's what we have so far, our going to the Sweet 16 in the East bracket. Moving on to the South bracket, the upper left-hand corner, Florida's bracket. Riley, how do you see that one playing out, at least the first few rounds in that one?
Yeah, I don't have a ton of upsets in the first round, really. So I have Pittsburgh with the minor upset over Colorado. But other than that, I have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7s going. So everybody chalk except Pittsburgh over Colorado. I think they could have flipped those. I think Colorado's a soft 8, and we spoke of our affection and fondness for Pittsburgh, and I think...
I think it's ridiculous that... you look at Colorado's... I don't know... This may be, you know, arguing semantics. I don't know how Colorado is an 8 and Pittsburgh is a 9. I think you can make some... Pittsburgh, again, a top 20 KenPom team. I know they haven't had any truly great wins, but I think you can... Man, Colorado really hasn't beaten anyone either. I think Pittsburgh...
I mean, they beat Kansas once. That was a good win, but...
You know, I would take Pittsburgh over them. Colorado, plus, you know, they've had an injury. Their best player went out.
I think Spencer Dinwiddie tore his ACL a month and a half ago.
You know, and, you know, he's a really good player, really high offensive rating, so a tremendous loss for the Colorado program. But I'll take Pittsburgh to win that one in what I don't consider an upset.
And another a big game looking down here is the VCU-SF Austin. And SF Austin was one of those teams that you don't know how you can see them. They're 31-2. They won the Southland. They're winners of 28 in a row, but they also played the 341st easiest schedule, if you will, or the 10th easiest, 344th
hardest.
So, you know, they have won 28 games in a row. They're coached by Brad Underwood, a fantastic coach in his first year. And, you know, you can't argue with 31-2. That's a tough seeding line. They are very slow. I believe they are one of the nation's slowest tempo rate teams. And VCU obviously likes to speed it up. So
with
I think that
havoc.
Yeah, I think SF Austin or Stephen F. Austin is going to have a hard time dealing with that athleticism of VCU. I think they'll progress on there. A lot of people take SF Austin to win, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah,
so
people always like to make the, you know, sexy 12 over 5, and I get it. They do happen. But Stephen F. Austin, 59th in KenPom.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Not bad for a
second. They're 31-2,
yeah.
So they're not 31-2 good, but that's right around the likes of an Illinois, Minnesota, and Arkansas, teams that I guess you could say just miss, you know, on that next level of next four out. They are rated above Colorado and North Carolina State, though, for example. So they're better than some of these at-large teams in the tournament. So it's certainly not a cakewalk for VCU. VCU is going to have to show up and play, but I do expect VCU to win that one. UCLA against a tough Tulsa team. Danny Manning doing a really good job there. UCLA impressive. Winning the Pac-12 tournament, I expect them in their talent. Slo-Mo doing a really good job. Jordan Adams, awesome player. I expect them to advance. Ohio State, Dayton, great game. Aaron Kraft, we'll see if he can shoot it more than 2 feet this time. I know I do. I love Archie Miller. I think he's a phenomenal offensive mind. Third year there, great experience. Phenomenal coach. I expect Ohio State to win that. But that's going to be another great, great game to watch in the first round. Syracuse, Western Michigan, I expect Syracuse to win that, and I expect Jim Boeheim to complain about something. And New Mexico, Stanford, I'll take New Mexico in that one.
Yeah, I like
and Kansas over Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, let's see here. I like New Mexico a lot. They're a team that got underseeded. they're going to want to come back from their loss to Harvard last year. Not embarrassing.
3-14 game. I think they had like a 12 or 13 or 87% chance right. to win. Off the top of my head.
Amaker's led squad just kind of blew him out of the water. Kind of moving on. I like Florida over Pittsburgh. Like VCU over UCLA, actually, which is a minor upset, but not a huge one. UCLA's kind of coming off a high, one of the Pac-12 tournament, and that's a hard game because both teams have been playing well. And but I like VCU. I trust Shaka Smart.
Yeah. I like UCLA in that one, but that's going to be a great game to see how UCLA handles that pressure.
Right, and I think if I'm not mistaken, I think Shaka Smart. He was with Donovan for a while at Florida.
He was an assistant at Florida under Donovan.
So that set up a unique Sweet 16 matchup between Florida and VCU. I have Syracuse over Ohio State, and I hope Jimmy B liked his time down in Greenbury. He didn't get to spend as much time.
Hey,
I guess you don't have to worry about stuff to do when you're only there for one night. So he can shut his mouth and go back home. So I like Kansas over New Mexico as well. So I have Florida, VCU, Syracuse, and Kansas coming out of the South into the Sweet 16. So a lot of chalk so far for me. I've got my East was a 6-7. So I guess but it's UNC and UConn. So.
Well, that's okay.
But so moving on to the West, where we've got Arizona as the one, Wisconsin as the two, and Creighton the three, and San Diego State the four. At first glance to me, this looks like a cakewalk to the final four for Arizona.
I think Arizona, and we'll see what Ken Palm and Nate Silver and people like that have to say and other college basketball. First glance, I think Arizona has by far the best chance to win the whole tournament because they have the best chance to make the final four.
Yeah, and I agree. I kind of agree with that. And spoiler alert, I have Arizona in my championship game.
I do too.
So
Weber
State, they'll win that. They have Oklahoma State, Gonzaga winner. They should win that too.
Interesting. Marcus Smart, that team's playing well. I expect Oklahoma State to beat Gonzaga, but I expect Arizona to advance.
Yeah, I do too, obviously, since I have them in the finals. my one kind of big one, I have North Dakota State over Oklahoma. I've seen both teams play a fair amount this year. Oklahoma has Spangler, who's a great rebounder. North Dakota State, I watched them beat Notre Dame earlier this year.
When they had Jerry and Grant
still. They were really good, and if I'm not mistaken, Notre Dame has a really good scorer by the name of, let's see here, I don't remember his name. I think it's Taylor Braun, but I could be mistaken. He's been there for a while. They should be a really good 12 seed. I had them over Oklahoma, and I think they'll play San Diego State in the round of 32, who will take care of New Mexico State.
Oh, yeah. It'll
be interesting to see how San Diego State matches up with Symbol or the 7-foot, 7'6" or something.
He just keeps growing.
Yeah,
he is.
He's a big boy. Mm-hmm. Then I have Baylor over Nebraska, which is kind of tough for me because Nebraska ball, I am 10 miles in.
10 miles, phenomenal job. I think I saw some stat. His team's winning percentage have increased every year over his past 9 years. His teams, they took the Deeks to the woodshed last year in Winston.
Yeah, I mean,
he got stood up for a steak dinner, but he took it out on the Deeks, and his team won by, Nebraska's in the NCAA tournament for the first time since the mid-90s, and it's his second year. Yeah. And they've moved to the Big Ten.
I love me some Nebraska ball. that's where it's at.
So I think that's going to be a great game. Creighton, Louisiana.
Side note, Louisiana Lafayette is all of a sudden just going by Louisiana. And, can you do that?
They can do whatever they want.
But anyway, the Raging Cajuns beat Sunbelt overwhelming favorite Georgia State, who has they have 2 5-stars on their roster.
Yeah, Ryan Harrow.
Yeah, Ryan Harrow, former UK, and I believe RJ Hunter, who chose them over his dad coaches there.
Yeah.
So chose them over.
Good recruiting
anywhere
advantage.
Else. Yes.
Same with Creighton.
Yeah, so they got upset. They're, interestingly enough, leads us into Creighton. So I have Creighton actually to the Elite Eight. I have them upsetting Wisconsin in the round of 16. So when it gets down to things like this, teams like that live and die by the three, and sometimes they struggle. They often struggle. But they also have the advantage of having one of the top 5 scorers in NCAA history on their team.
Yes.
Mr. McDermott. So,
yes.
So
got
I like
you three stacks.
Yeah, I like Creighton a lot. I think they will get to the Elite Eight where they'll play Arizona. And then I have Oregon and Wisconsin rounding out the bottom there.
Yeah.
So
I have Oregon and Wisconsin as well. Quick shout out to American coach Mike Brennan.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal job. They started the year really low in Ken.
I think they were like 280.
I mean, just exceptional job. Let me look them up here on KenPom.
He did a great job.
98th in KenPom.
Yep.
Higher than Wake Forest, 20-12. Started off the year 3-7.
Just got better as the year went on.
And they just keep getting better. Guess what? They started the Patriot League 10-0.
Yeah, I think they shut down Boston University in the title game. I think they held them to under 45 points.
Yeah, sucks to be you. They beat them, and they stormed on their own court.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, that's a clinic.
Hater gonna hate, though. So, I mean, great job
so
by me.
Shout out to them. I have Wisconsin winning fairly easily, but a shout out to the American basketball program.
I saw some tweet that said American was extremely underseeded. I mean, it's
tough to say.
It's a 20-12 Patriot League title. Yes, they are good. They're a good team, but I mean,
you know, it's not criminal. I mean, what do you want them to be? A 7th seed?
Yeah, I mean, they could have been a 13. Oh, okay. They could have played Louisville, so they're probably lucky.
they got lucky. They get to play a slow-down Wisconsin team.
So, moving down here. So, I've got back to the Midwest, looking at the Sweet 16 here. My matchups are Wichita State versus Louisville, and then Duke versus Michigan. Those would be two outstanding basketball games.
I also have that same.
And I actually, that Wichita State Louisville game is hard to choose, but I actually have Wichita State. I know a lot of people are going to choose Louisville. And my take on the Midwest bracket is that any of the top really four seeds could come out of that. Wichita State, Louisville, Duke, and Michigan. So you might as well pick the one seed if you have a little bracket advice, because you're going to be with most other people. Now, this is kind of a rare case because the three other teams that could be chosen are perennial. Big time heavyweight.
You talk about the name of Michigan and Duke, as well as Louisville, last year's defending champion.
Yes, but I like Wichita State there. I think they advanced to the Elite Eight, and I think Michigan will take care of Duke, and they'll make it to the Elite Eight as well, which is an outstanding job after losing Mitch McGarry after, what, about a month or two.
Yeah.
He played all this year.
Yeah, he briefly played, I mean, but he has been out for a decent portion of the season. I agree with what you're – well, I understand what you're saying about Wichita State, but I'm going with Louisville. I think they are just – they are outstanding. That's going to be a rematch of last year's national semifinal game.
That was a great game, too, if I recall.
Yeah, it was a one- or two-possession game. I also agree with you. I think Stauskas is – well, you know what? I'm taking Duke to win that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm taking Duke to win that one.
Jabari Parker really came in. I don't know how much of the game you saw today. He dominated the second half before Akeel Mitchell kind of played. I mean, he had 9 points in a row at one point to give Duke the lead. He's coming into his own. So
he
could be interesting to watch. But with Duke, it's hard to pick them to go far because they live and die by that three. And this year,
their defense
isn't
that good.
No, it's
average.
So I think they could get up. I don't think they'll lose to Mercer. That Iowa-Tennessee, if it's Tennessee versus Duke, that could be up.
Tennessee could absolutely beat Duke for the reasons we talked about, that pure physicality. And so,
I mean
those are grown men.
Yeah, we saw them firsthand in the Paradise, whatever that thing's called, classic. Battle for Atlanta. Right, that.
It was on a TV station that doesn't exist.
Yeah,
so.
They're big boys, and you know it's
no offense to Mark Cuban.
No,
but anyway, yeah, I definitely see your point. Duke certainly vulnerable at times, very reliant upon the 3-point shot, especially now with really Emil Jefferson as their only true post player. And if they get in foul trouble, they're really relying on a 4-out-1 in set. And with that, you're going to need some penetration, but you're going to need some perimeter jump shots. And if they are not falling, you are in trouble. And Michigan, a very good offensive team. So if you fall behind, again, you are in trouble. And as you mentioned, Duke, they could easily lose that second round game to either Iowa or Tennessee. And Mercer's not a terrible team, although I expect them to win fairly easily. But I am taking Louisville to the Final Four in my bracket there.
Okay, so I have Wichita State beating Michigan. I don't think Wichita State is getting anywhere near the respect they deserve, which sounds really weird because they're the number two overall. I'm not saying that you're.
A lot of people are talking about Kentucky over Wichita State.
Right, and I don't think that. Well,
it could happen.
Sure, it could happen, but I think Wichita State wins that 8 out of 10 times if they play it. So I have Wichita State going there. So moving over to the other bracket, I've got mine's different than yours. I have Virginia versus Michigan State, which I think we have the same matchup.
We have those same picks.
So I like Michigan State there. I think Michigan State's physicality is going to be problematic for Virginia. We saw Tennessee bump Virginia well off what they were trying to do earlier in the season.
Izzo in March.
I think Michigan State would do the same thing. They need to make the Final Four to extend Izzo's streak of having every single player he's coached in Michigan State make Final Four.
I don't see any reason why he's not.
Yeah, and I think with Gary Harris and Adrian Payne, they're going to want to do that. So I have Michigan State over Virginia. Then I have UConn versus UNC in the Sweet 16, and I don't think you have that. I think you have Iowa State versus Villanova.
And I expect Iowa State to win that one in advance to the Elite Eight. And to your point about North Carolina, I would expect North Carolina to advance to the Elite Eight. I think the winner of that Iowa State-North Carolina game beats either Villanova, UConn, St. Joe's, Milwaukee. I'll get out of here with that. But, you know, I agree. I think that's going to be an excellent game by two very good teams.
Yeah, and when it gets to UNC Connecticut, I really like Shabazz Napier. I think he's one of the better one of the best players in the country. Should be interesting to watch Napier and Page go head-to-head. I think they're both two Bob Cousy Award finalists. But I have Carolina coming out of that, and then it sets up a rematch, which is interesting because Carolina already beat Michigan State in East Lansing
in the Izzone.
In the rematch, I have Michigan State making it. So I have Michigan State and Wichita State as my bottom two there. I know that Michigan State and Louisville are both very popular four seeds
I'm following the trends here. I don't know, but I'm taking Louisville and Michigan
State. It's going to be really interesting to see, and I haven't seen anything yet, handicapping that bracket down there. I mean, I think Michigan State might be the favorite to come out of that whenever it's all said and done on the numbers, especially from a site like Ken Pomeroy. Villanova might be, well, he favors Virginia a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah, Virginia's very high.
I think Michigan State is not, it's not an unreasonable look at, I mean, the bottom two brackets, I think any of the eight could come out down there.
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about Virginia, the fourth team in Ken Palm, Michigan State, the 10th team.
All right, okay. I like Michigan State to make the Final Four. Who do you have coming out there?
Sparty.
Yep, Sparty as well. Okay, let's move back up to Florida. I have Florida, the South bracket, top left. I have Florida VCU. I believe you have Florida UCLA.
Yes.
Are we both taking Florida regardless?
Yes, okay. I would take Florida over either one of those
teams. Yeah, I have Florida in there. And then with Syracuse versus Kansas, I have Kansas. I think a lot of this hinges on Joel Embiid.
And you know what? If Pittsburgh upsets Florida, I would take Pittsburgh to the Elite Eight in that
game. Okay, you would take Pitt over VCU.
Yes.
And part of the trouble here is I think Joel Embiid is going to be out for the first
weekend.
But I think that the committee kind of gave him
the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, and so they got a two seed. It's going to be a rough matchup with New Mexico. Cameron Barstow is an extremely good player for the Lobo, and that's not going to be a cakewalk. They're going to need Wiggins to step up big time, which he has been. But I like Kansas in there, and if it's between Kansas and Syracuse and Joel Embiid isn't playing, I like Syracuse. But if Embiid is playing, I like Kansas. So I'll take Kansas because I think he will be back. So I've got a Florida-Kansas Elite Eight.
Yeah, I also have a Florida-Kansas Elite Eight. I think Andrew Wiggins, you know, the whole hype this summer, Wiggins, the whole hype was where is he going to go to school? Then he announces Kansas, and it's all this rigging for Wiggins on all this talk about the 2014 NBA draft lottery and all these teams tanking to have the rights to draft Wiggins number one. And then it's, well, my goodness, he might slip past the top three, but he has been exceptional as of late, especially with Embiid going out. To his credit, he has been stepping up. So I think Wiggins and company will get the job done even without Embiid through that first weekend. And then I think Embiid, you know, they've taken it easy on him. And who knows the true severity of that injury. I'm sure just a lot of internal discussions between Embiid, the training staff, the doctors, and the team. But I like Kansas to advance to play Florida. And I've crossed it out. I've wrote Kansas, crossed it out, wrote Florida, crossed it out, wrote Kansas, crossed it out. I'm going to go Florida.
Yeah, I've got Florida going as well. I think Florida's the number one overall seed. They haven't lost since, what, December? I believe Shabazz Napier's last second shot to beat them, what was it, 63-62 or something like that, up in UConn in December. So I like Florida there, and they've only lost twice all year. I don't remember.
They lost at Wisconsin and at Connecticut. They lost at Wisconsin by a total of 6 points, and they lost at UConn, as you mentioned, by 1 point.
Okay.
So,
and I like Florida. They went 21.
Their last loss was December 2nd, 2013. It's March 16th, 2014.
And a loss show this year?
No.
So, I like Florida to make it there. So that gives me Wichita State, Michigan State, and Florida. And you have Louisville, Michigan State, and Florida.
Yes.
And then looking at the top right here.
To the west.
I've got Arizona versus San Diego State.
I also have
They played that one already this year. Arizona State beat San Diego State. Arizona beat San Diego State at the Aztec Arena, 69-60, if my memory serves me correctly. I know they won, I think it was 69-60. That's going to be interesting to see there. I like Arizona to beat the Aztecs again. But never count out Steve Fisher. And Xavier Thames is a phenomenal player, and he looked extremely good in the latter part of this year. But I like Arizona there, and do you have that same matchup?
I have Arizona playing against San Diego State in that top half. And then in the bottom, what do you have?
I have Creighton versus Wisconsin, just the 3 versus the 2.
I have Creighton against Oregon, actually.
You have Wisconsin going out?
Yeah, I mean, I know they got beat pretty bad in the Pac-12 tournament, too. To UCLA, but this is a team who started 3-8 of the conference, won the last 7, including beating Arizona. They won at UCLA in double overtime. I really like this team. I think Dana Altman's a very good coach. They're very good offensively, 12th in adjusted efficiency. Really good three-point shooting team. They shoot 39% from three, which is 18th nationally. So against a really good defensive team in Wisconsin, I think that's going to be critical. And I think Mike Moser and Joseph Young are going to be two really big players for them in that game.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that. Let's see. I think from there, I've got Creighton over Wisconsin, as I spoke a little earlier.
Yeah.
That's kind of one of my upsets. I think it's a lot of white guy basketball going to be played. That's
a lot of whiteouts going on, and we don't have to wait till all the walk-ons get in.
Yeah, so
we have to wait for opening tip-off, I think.
And I'm not sure about that one, but I think Creighton can pull off that upset against Wisconsin, but that'll be a close game. It doesn't matter. They're going to the winner of that game is going to lose to Arizona, in my opinion, regardless. So I've got Arizona in the Final Four coming out of there. So that gives me Arizona, Florida, Michigan State, and Wichita State. What do you have going on there?
I have Arizona winning up top over San Diego State, as we discussed. We think they have the easiest path to the Final Four, partially because they're so good in the first place. I have Oregon going to the Sweet 16, as we said, and then I think Creighton could definitely be a problem, especially going against Baylor. Baylor's a team that likes to play that 2-3 zone. I think.
Yeah, Creighton. I think
McDermott is just he's so special, and I'll take Creighton to win that game. And you know what? I'm going to take Creighton to beat Oregon. And take on Creighton will take on Arizona in the Elite
Eight.
And then hashtag Bear Down. Shout out to my good friend Eric DeWeese. Anyway, that's my analysis for that game.
Okay, so you have Arizona going to
the Final Four.
Okay, so I believe we've got the same bracket. We've got Michigan State versus Florida,
yes.
And you have Louisville versus Arizona. So.
Yes.
You have 2 4-seeds, 2 1-seeds. I have 3 1-seeds and a 4-seed. So Arizona versus Wichita State. Should be very entertaining, in my opinion. Any of these games would be very good.
Yes. I mean, we're talking about great first-round games. We're talking about very intriguing.
Yeah, I think that I can't get over how good that Midwest bracket's going to be. I mean, every single game should be pretty good, my opinion.
Outside of Wichita State versus the 16 seed.
Cal Poly.
And Michigan Wofford. Every other game is going to be pretty good.
Yeah, so I have Arizona beating Wichita State, ending the dream for Wichita State to go 40-0. I believe that would put them at 38-1. But I can see that going either way. I like Wichita State a lot, but I think Arizona with Nick Johnson and
Aaron Gordon. I mean, they just keep throwing studs, throwing studs after you. T.J. McConnell, a really good player.
McGlynn, whatever his name is, he goes well. Transfer from Vermont. So
yeah, I mean McConnell transferred from Duquesne. Caleb Darzewski.
Yeah, he kind of was the forgotten one after Aaron Gordon came in there, but he was
he's got
highly coveted five-star from last year.
And he's got offense. He's got really good rebounding numbers, effective field goal percentage numbers.
Yeah, and I think
free throw. I mean,
I think that might be a little too much inside for Wichita State. I like Fred VanVleet a lot. That'd be an extremely entertaining point guard battle between he and. And T.J. McConnell, but I think that the height of Arizona is going to be problematic.
Height and
for
athleticism,
Wichita State.
In addition to guard play, is just and look, they're number one in the country in defensive efficiency. In addition to being 35th in offensive efficiency, so
yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they got to that point. You know, Clay Anthony Early, great player, top 10 for KenPom Player of the Year. Fred VanVleet, outstanding point guard. Tekeel Cotton, great player, and Ron Baker, and the lesser known Wiggins, who has actually achieved more than Andrew Wiggins.
To more Final Fours.
Yes, he has. So I've got Arizona moving on to the finals. What do you have there between Louisville and Arizona?
I have Arizona moving on. That should be an outstanding. I mean, what a defensive battle that's going to be. Louisville, that's the number one and two teams, according to KenPom. Again, even though Louisville's fourth in seeding, they are number two in KenPom. That's a team that's six overall in adjusted defensive efficiency, second in turnover percentage. So that's a team that's not necessarily just getting lucky by having teams miss shots on defense. That's a team that is going out and forcing turnovers. And then Russ Smith is incredible in transition, and they will just, I mean, ask Rutgers. It's not fun to play.
Yeah, 92-31.
It's not fun to play them.
So you've got
I do have Arizona.
You got Arizona moving to the final. Okay, so we both have Arizona coming out of the right side of the bracket.
Yes.
And then we have Florida versus Michigan State. What do you got there?
Man, that's going to be another great game. I feel like we keep saying that, but it continues to be true. Florida, so much balance. Michigan State playing so well this time of year. You never bet against Izzo in March. Just won the Big Ten championship. Really no bad losses. North Carolina, Michigan, Georgetown, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Michigan, Illinois, Ohio State. Gary, I'm taking Florida, but it's, again, a great game and one that will come down to the wire.
Yeah, I like Florida, too. I think that they're too good.
They are too good.
For Michigan State, but that would be an extremely rough game as well. Florida left to battle. We've got Donovan versus Izzo, and on the other side, we have Marshall versus Miller. So it's kind of the old guard versus each other and the new gun versus each other. So
I got the old guy in Patino as well.
Yeah,
so we have a lot of really good coaches in the Final Four. It's weird how good coaches can have good basketball teams. But
yes, funny how that happens. But I have Florida moving on into the finals. I've got Florida versus Arizona, who I believe are coming into the tournament. I believe were the two top teams.
In KenPom?
No, they're not. Just in my opinion, I think.
Oh.
People are kind of sleeping on Arizona a lot, and I like them. I like them in the final. Maybe I'm making that up, but I think people are sleeping on them. They're kind of the forgotten one seed out there. So,
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point. Plenty of people talking about sort of a little bit of recency bias. Virginia wins the ACC. People are talking about them. Wichita State, undefeated record. They got talked about. Florida, a lot of publicity. And Arizona's kind of just off and off in the Southwest, just taking care of business, grinding out great wins, and dominating. And wouldn't be shocked at all if they beat Florida. And I'll tell you what, I'm going bear down. I'm taking Arizona to beat Florida in the national championship.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that nobody really talks about at all is Arizona's defense, and by 3 points, the best defense in America.
They're per 100 possessions.
Yeah, 86.9 points per 100 possessions, and VCU's second at 89.4, and Virginia's third at 89.5. And I can't imagine anybody, after watching Virginia the last 3 days, I can't imagine anybody being 3 points better.
That three-person block.
Yeah, I mean
that was, oh my goodness, was that gorgeous help side defense or what?
That's literally the epitome of,
I mean, good. My goodness.
Good defense. Help defense.
Now, that Pittsburgh-Virginia game, I know it was low scoring, I know this is a little bit off top. If you don't like watching that game, you don't like basketball.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. And beautifully coached.
And being there,
both sides.
It didn't feel like it was, I mean, yes, with the low scoring game, but it didn't feel like
close,
it wasn't
intense.
Like tedious or like.
Yeah, because you were watching good basketball on both sides.
Yeah, and I was impressed with Virginia immensely. Obviously, they're one seed. They won the ACC regular season and the title. But I have Florida winning it all. I think Billy Donovan gets back on that track. I mean, they haven't lost, as we said, December what, 2nd?
2nd.
I mean, so they swept the SEC going 18-0, and then they won three games.
They won 3-0
in the SEC.
Yeah, so 21-0 in the SEC.
I mean, that's phenomenal. I don't care who you are. I don't care what conference you're in. I mean, that's the other thing about Wichita State. Well, who do they play? Well, who else won 34? That has been an undefeated team in the last 30 years.
Yeah, and, you know, I believe UNLV was the last team to go undefeated. Well, St. Joe's went undefeated in the regular season, but UNLV won their conference tournament.
Yes.
But, you know, again, they are reward excellence. And, I'm looking at their – yes, they do not play in a good conference. They're in a one-bid league. They were the only bid. They win by 15, by 14, by 19. Only by 3 in overtime, but it was on the road. I mean, they win by 22, by 20, by 15, by 17,
yeah,
by 12. I mean, I'm not going to go through every score, but you get the point. And this is why, again, RPI is a terrible metric. It's sort of getting on a bit of a high horse here on a soapbox. RPI is a terrible metric. They don't get enough credit for those wins because it doesn't matter if they win by 1 or by 25. And also, it doesn't look into, did they win at home or did they win on the road, you know? I believe in an average year, beating the number one team at home is similar to beating the number 17 team on the road.
Right.
So, and if we're talking top 50 win versus top 25 win, not all of those are the same. Again, road versus away. And 25 is an arbitrary number. Let's say I was, I went 4-0 against 26, 27, 28, 29, and the other team went 4-0 against, 49, 48, 47, 46. I know that's a bit of a high horse, but it's ridiculous that is half the component of RPI. And, you know, I read an interesting article earlier this week. The Kansas basketball program, and to their credit, they should be taking advantage of this. You should take advantage of terrible systems. That's what Billy Beane did in Moneyball. That's what Moneyball's all about, taking advantage of market inefficiencies. They have a guy whose sole job is to schedule RPI boosters. They schedule teams like Toledo, who, you know, not a bad team, but going to have a really good record in their conference. Stephen F. Austin would be a prime example. A team about the 60th best team in the country. But if you can bring in a team that's 31-2, that's going to look really good for your RPI. So getting off on a bit of a tangent there, but
it's good stuff.
You know, I've been away for 2 weeks. Thought I'd get back on a high horse there about the RPI. Riley, I mean, any final thoughts on the NCAA tournament?
Not
Wake Forest, whatever.
Yeah, just stay tuned for all Wake Forest related news. We don't know what the time frame is. We don't have any inside information, but we were betting, man, we would probably say that we will have a new coach at some point this week. So we will have
at least no coach.
Yeah, hopefully.
No coach would be an upgrade.
So.
I mean, we'll tell you what, we take no coach and we put one of Buzz's bad ties out there, we get an upgrade in head coaching. But, So stay tuned as always for that. We'll have updates on coaching candidate profiles, much like we did, you know, only about about 3 months ago or so. You and I were talking on air when the news came in about Clawson. You know, we were writing coaching candidate profiles on these potential football hires. So we'll be doing hopefully a lot of the same stuff for the basketball hire. We appreciate you guys listening. Also, back to the bracketology anymore, the brackets real quick. But Blogger's O'Deer is, you know, if you agree or disagree with our picks, that's perfectly fine. Blogger's O'Deer is having a tournament challenge on our website. We'd love for you to come in and join us on the BSD Bracket Challenge. There is a prize. It's a koozie in Blogger's O'Deer tailgating fashion. That's what we like to give off. The group name is Blogger's O'Deer, and the password is Go Deeks. This is on ESPN, so please welcome. Come on the site. Chat with us. Talk about matchups you like, teams you like. Riley, anything else you want to say about anything at all?
No, I think we're good to go. It's an exciting time of the year and should be double exciting for Wake fans. Just we get to watch a good team play in the NCAA tournament, and hopefully we'll be there next year. So with a new guy at the helm. So that's about all I've got. So,
well, again, as we were talking about going through those final four coaches, is in college sports, the coach is so unbelievably important when you are general manager and coach.
Yep.
And especially in a sport like basketball, where you land one 5-star recruit, he can change everything for you and take you to. I mean, my God, look at T.J. Warren. And we gave credit to Mark Godfrey earlier. And again, congratulations to State for hate to say sneaking in. They're in a playoff game. Congratulations to them for making the tournament. Great win over Syracuse. What an outstanding player can do for you, and
yep.
Credit to Godfrey for getting the most out of his team there, and again, an example of a good hire and a good recruiting class to follow up with.
Yep, so I'm ready for NCAA tournament basketball. So
I can't wait. Hey, going to be the only time of the year I watch True TV. I'm looking forward to figuring out what that channel is again.
Yep.
Well, until next time, which hopefully isn't very long, go Deeks.
Go Deeks.